Yes. Well, good morning. Good morning, beloved ones. Yes. And for those of you who are joining us online, I greet you with an open heart as well. So that, you know, it's disconcerting because I want to speak to them. I want them to know I'm speaking to them. So even though you can't, there you go. Because I'm looking at you. I'm sending my energy out over the ethers. And I know that you're receiving it as well. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I especially appreciate that song, I Am Light, because this is what is needed on our planet. You know, I want to take the time for us before I move into our message this morning is to recognize that we are living in wonderful times, but also challenging times. And I believe that this is probably the first time in our country's history where we have been the aggressor, that we decided that we would take action to harm or bring harm to another country without being provoked by that country directly. And so this is significant in terms of the energy that we are putting forth into the world about who we are. And I know that this is not necessarily the vibration of the majority of the people of this nation, but certainly of a few who have misunderstood what power is about. It is not about dominance. It's not about control. It's not about annihilating another. It's about acknowledging the freedom, acknowledging the worth, acknowledging the value of every living being. And the right to have sovereignty over one's own essence, one's own being, one's own body, one's own mind, one's own heart, not just for those who live in this environment, but for everyone. So I think that there is prayer that is needed. And I would like us, because we understand the value and the power we hold to be able to send forth light, because we are light beings. We are divine expressions of the Most High God and able to do many things. So hopefully you all will join me online, but let's just take a few moments to just sort of go within. And I'm going to invite you to just begin to not only breathe deeply, but I want you to hold the image and the vibration of yourself as being a light being filled with light. And we allow that light now to emanate from consciousness, but from our physical being as well, from the heart of who we are, out into the world. We send forth the light of peace, knowing that those souls who are walking in darkness might see the light and be led forth in peace. We pray for those who are experiencing not only in Iran, but all over this planet that are experiencing suffering, whether it's in the Congo or any other nation, the Sudan, places that are experiencing hunger, food, deprivation, fear, those who are in Gaza, all over where there is a forgetfulness of our humanity. Let us shine light so that everyone is lifted up. And I especially want to send light and prayers for our persons who are in a position of leadership to demonstrate the high values and morals of an enlightened being and soul. So for everyone who is serving in any capacity in our nation, that this light penetrates into their consciousness, into their hearts, so that there is a transformation, a transcendence, a repentance, a turning around of energy, so that that energy speaks only to the good, to God's presence, as love, as peace, as joy, as harmony, well-being for all souls. So just take your few moments and affirm peace into this place we call home, world, earth. Raising our vibration of love and compassion and understanding and acceptance. And we see light filtering into the darkest places, into the hardened hearts. The Spirit of the Living God is able to move in those places and spaces, in those persons, for they too are the beloved of God. Even if there's no remembrance of that truth, let our light spark their light and the remembrance of who they are and who God is, a God of love, a God of healing, a God of abundance, a God of peace. Let peace now reign upon this earth and within every heart. For I believe it when the scripture says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, Mother, God, creator of all that is good. Thank you for your peace now, your presence now, your power now to bring everything together for the highest purpose of our being. Just take a deep breath. And let's continue, you know, to do our work in the days ahead, because we don't know what we have unleashed by our actions. But going forward, we do not want to perhaps succumb to any kind of fear or low vibration. We still must do the work of keeping our vibration high and sending light to those who are in positions of leadership, that they awaken. Those of us who are awake can help awaken others. So thank you for that. But I also want to take the time to celebrate. You know, life is filled. There are times when you must acknowledge where you have perhaps sorrow or things that are not unfolding in the highest manner. But then you also take the time to celebrate the good. And so today is a day that we're going to celebrate because it's our reveal of a lot of hard work by the Refresh the Church Committee. Yes. And I love it. The committee's given me a sheet to read from. So I think I could do it, but I'm going to read what they wrote because this is really, truly a day to acknowledge them. And it says, this is a day of joyful transformation and that we are thrilled to unveil the very first phase of what we are calling Refresh the Church campaign. Beginning today, right? And if you've noticed when you walked in the foyer, did you notice anything different? You didn't? Oh, okay. Well, yes, it was wonderful. In the foyer, in the vestibule, there have been some changes. Hopefully you noticed that we have a freshly vibrant painted foyer. It's white and crisp and clean, that the walls have been refurbished a little bit. We have new seating out there. If you've come in, you've seen some new seating. We have a wonderful artwork. And those of you, I don't know if you came in this direction, but did you see the portrait of our old church that we came from? You know, sometimes you got to remember where you came from in order to appreciate where you are in life. So those of you who were with us when we used to be at 700 A Street, we want to keep that remembrance in our mind and give thanks because the work we did there enables us to be here. And so we put a picture up there. We have new lighting in the lobby that you might not see, an electronic message board. And did you see any of the signage outside? If you've walked the street, it said Unity of Washington, D.C. Those eventually will be put up on the outer lamp post, light posts, or whatever they are in the street, so people will be able to see that. But we're trying to make sure that people know we are here. They used to say Unity is the best kept secret in town. Well, we don't want to be the best kept secret. We want people to know that we are here. This is a welcoming environment, a welcoming community, a loving community. And, you know, we have some good things going on here, whether it's classes, concerts, fellowship, whatever it is. We want to be able to invite those who are seeking the light to know that this is a place of light. So we're grateful for that. And it says here, this is more than a renovation. It's a manifestation. And it says, in unity, we know that thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And when we hold thoughts of beauty and joy and prosperity and divine order, those thoughts take form. And they say this is exactly what is happening here. Through the vision and commitment of our Refresh the Church Committee and the generosity of several members of this congregation toward and for our spiritual home, that this is beginning to reflect the radiant light and energy that we all feel when we come into this place. And so we want to give the committee, they've donated their time, their talent, their treasure to this effort. And so I want to just acknowledge those so that we could benefit. So I'm going to read, I have a little thing where I want to read their names because they are worthy to be read, to be heard. Let's see. Bear with me one moment. This is it. So I want to call forth, and just stand if you're here, if you can. Eleanor and the co-founders and of the committee are Eleanor, co-chairs, Eleanor Herman, who is not here today, but she's moved and still active. She's moved to Williamsburg, Virginia, but she's still active. And so, Eleanor, I know that you're online. We want to thank you. Please stand. Tim Keim, there's Tim in the back there, come Tim, as a co-chair. Floyd Lewis, who is on the committee, our board chair. Jackie Jeter, I don't know if Jackie is here. Tyrone, who's also a board member and a committee member. Eric Weems. Greg Brunette, if you're here, please stand. Allison Hebert, I know she's here because I saw her, but she's doing double duty, working the sound. Malva McFlain, Malva stand. Gwen Jackson, Scott, I see Scott there. Scott's Creative Essence, Scott's. Kathy Swayze, I see Kathy there. Please stand, Kathy. Cliff Barnes, we want to recognize Cliff. I see Dennis Baker back there who got our signs. So let's just give these wonderful souls some of our love. Yes. And they're very committed, you know, that they want this place to reflect on the outer what we all feel on the inner about who we are as a community. And that's rightly so, right? That's what should happen, and we're grateful and thankful. And they've donated their own funds to help all of that to happen. And so we're opening up the doors to anyone who wants to help with this project. There are many more things that they have in mind to do, but certainly we're open to receive your gifts and donations. But as they wrote here, I want you to know that that doesn't take the place of your tithes, because we still have to pay the light bill and pay the salaries of the staff that goes toward the general contributions. But if you are intending and desire to help support this project, the Refresh Committee campaign, and you're giving a check or donation, I believe there's a category online for it, so you can just go ahead and mark that so we will know that that is your intention. And we give you thanks and praise And in the middle of all of this, that we still have something to celebrate, to celebrate. It's wonderful, yes. We're still in celebration mode. And I love that one of the things that they did right here was that this is more than a renovation, it's a manifestation. And that in unity, we know that thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And when we hold thoughts of beauty, joy, prosperity, and divine order, those thoughts take form. And they say that's exactly what is happening here. So I'm delighted that the committee is, you know, using spiritual principles, standing on spiritual principles. I just had the quote this morning that I was telling somebody. They were telling me that they were working with some of the principles that I shared a couple of weeks ago on transformation. And I said, you know, in the words of the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, she said, it works if you work it. It works if you work it. We have got to work these spiritual principles. And so I'm glad that they're using the spiritual principles of manifestation to help bring about a physical church into a place where it literally, you know, is showing up more vibrant and with more energy, and that we are the beneficiaries of their inner vision of what that could happen. We're the beneficiaries of their inner vision made manifest because they took some steps and they're making things to appear. Oh, did you see the welcoming mat when you came in? Yes, we got a welcoming mat. You know, so these were ideas that they held in consciousness, but they moved to help it manifest. So in the days that we are living in, it's important for us as light bearers and truth tellers and visionaries and healers and metaphysicians to be able to heighten now or raise, as I've been talking about lately, raise our abilities and vibrations and energies. That this is the time. This is the moment. This is the time that we as metaphysicians also must become masterful manifestors. As metaphysicians, we have to become what? Masterful manifestors. So right off the bat, let me hear you from, I am a masterful manifestor.
I am a masterful manifestor.
Now I want you to affirm it like you mean it and believe it. Together?
I am a masterful manifestor.
Yes. Did you feel the difference in the vibration of when we said it with conscious intention to claim that? This is something I want us to really make note of, because when we're trying to, whether it's saying our prayers or whatever we're trying to do, if we approach it with a ho-hum, lackluster way, you know, like we used to do our prayers, just rotely, just saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, just saying it because we're what, supposed to. There's a great difference when we are really affirming it, when we are raising our own vibration to help that which we are speaking about to come into fruition and as a reality. And we have to be careful because we can get sucked in. It's very easy to move into a state of mundane existence, doing the same thing, saying it the same way, where it has no value anymore. Even though you're saying it rotely, it's just that. It's just rote. And so as a masterful manifestor, you can't have that kind of vibration. You can't operate on that level any longer. It has to be something different. So how do we really work on becoming masterful manifestors? Because the truth be told that we are really working on ourselves and building up our inner world and our inner energy so that we can see the results of that reflected in our experience. You want the reflection of what you've been holding in your prayers and in your heart and in your desire. You don't want to just hold, you want to see it what? Reflected as a manifested experience, yes? Otherwise, why are we praying? Or why? We want to see the results of our inner work. In other words, we want to bring heaven upon the earth. Right? That's what we want to do. I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily want to wait till I die to go to heaven. I want to experience heaven right here on earth. And so what we're looking at, we want to see heaven manifested within our earthly experiences. want to see the exalted realm of spirit show up in our everyday, ordinary lives and affairs. Yes? Whether you're driving down, I want spirit showing up in my everyday life and experience. And so in order for that to happen, we want to become or learn to become conscious manifestors. Because a lot of stuff happens, but it happens unconsciously. We're like, ooh, look what that happened. Ooh, no, but you want to be a conscious manifestor, right? So that we're not just sitting around and we're waiting for life to happen to us. You know, sit around and waiting. I hope my blessings come in soon. I hope my ship comes in soon. You know, that's sitting around waiting for life to happen to us. Instead, we want to be active participants in our lives. We want to be active participants and happening to life. I don't want life just happening to me. I want to happen to life, right? Because I have more of a vested interest when I learn how to happen to life rather than sitting around, what's up with you? No, just life is what's wrong. It just happened. Life is happening. Yes, life is always happening. But do you want to be at the expense of it just always happening to you, or do you want to happen to life? It's a big difference there. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we can participate, we can activate, we can consciously be involved in the happenings of our life. And yes, there are always going to be those things over which we have no control. While I'm happening to life and participating and activating certain things in my life, there will always be those things that I have no control over. They're happening. Yet, even in the midst of that, if something has manifested through no fault of ours, although energetically there's always some connection, but even in the midst of that, we can still have a significant impact within the happening. We can still have an influence over that which will affect us, our inner world, when we are in the midst of the happening. We still have some ability to do that. We can still determine what our thoughts and our feelings and our emotions, our insights are about the happening or the experience. We still have some say, right, in that. We're not just victims. We can still participate in the process of life. And so while there are these things that we have no control over, there are things, however, that we can indeed actually direct, or we can actually change the course of energy, or actually manifest things into being. Because that is a part of our spiritual birthright, our spiritual makeup. And even though, you know, even quantum physics proves that we play a part in the happening and the manifestation of how things are showing up. And that things that have shown up change just by our interaction with it. The molecules of this water bottle change because I am now interacting energetically with it. This is deep stuff, because what that says is, we can be involved in the own prayers for our body. You know, we can interact with the cells. Lately, I've been given into Myrtle Fillmore's process. She would talk to her cells when she was given the diagnosis of tuberculosis. And back then in the 1800s, that was a pretty serious condition. And she was told that, you know, prepare, you ain't going to be here. And she said that every day she talked to her cells. She praised her cells. She praised her body. And she acknowledged them. And of course, she ended up being healed from her. It took 2 years, she says. It says 2 years to do that, but that was her process. And in 2 years, she was completely healed, and she lived to be the ripe old age, I think, of 86 or something like that. It was work that she decided to do, that she interacted consciously with her own being and her own cells of her body. So I've been just, you know, getting into like, you know what, let me start praising my body. I don't want to look at all the lumps and the bumps and all that stuff. Even in the lumps and the bumps. Let me say, you know what, girl, you looking good. You know? I'm starting to thank my body, you know, for carrying me all these, lo, these many years, for being there with me, supporting me, helping me move about in the world. Thank you, body. I'm thanking myself. I'm acknowledging how good and strong and beautiful my body is, my inner world, my inner selves, and just giving it praise and vibration and thanksgiving. You know, when you're young, you take so much for granted. Because, you know, we just don't know. But as you get older, you recognize, let me take stock in who I am and where I am and how blessed I am. You know, to be able to still walk about. Yeah, sometimes I got to walk a little slower, but I'm walking and I'm moving. Yes, I've got some of these things, but I'm still doing. Let me praise that. Let me acknowledge that. Let me lift that up. So that even though things are happening, I'm still present within the happening. I'm still directing a course of action or the energy in a way that I would like to see. I want to take time to really become a conscious manifestor. And that's what we're here to do, be conscious manifestors, because we have to remember we are spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe. And governed by what? Spiritual laws. We have to keep that. I'm not just a mere human being with a body, but I'm a spiritual being. And I'm living in a spiritual universe. I'm connected to something greater than myself. And I'm governed by spiritual law. Human law may say, oh, it's impossible to do this, that, and the other. Spiritual law says, with God, nothing is impossible. I want to be connected to what? Spiritual law. Because that supersedes any physical laws that we may come across. So I want to tune into that. And I'm thinking, so it's good for us to remember spiritually everything happens and comes under spiritual law. There's nothing that happens that does not happen that does not come under what we call spiritual laws. And spiritual law is not, you know, some willy-nilly thing. Spiritual law is clear and direct, and it's a spiritual principle, which means as a law, it's that principle in action is the law. So we want to learn some of these spiritual laws and principles so that we can utilize them and act within them and let them act upon us and with us. So I want to ask the question, so what is a conscious manifestor? And what exactly is needed for us to be able to achieve that? And so I always, you know, when I get these thoughts now, I go look it up. I have my own spiritual books, but I have fun sometimes looking at, well, what would ChatGPT say about a conscious manifest? Because it's very interesting to see what they come up with. I mean, I ask all kinds of questions, and it's just interesting. But I said, well, what is a conscious manifestor? And this is what ChatGPT said. Conscious manifestation is the practice of bringing your desires and goals into reality through focused intention and positive energy. So did you get the two operative words here? All right, somebody said it. Focused intention and what? Positive energy. That those two things, when you you allow them to influence your thoughts, feelings, actions, whatever, that you must have focused intention to be a conscious manifestor, focused intention and positive energy. Now, you could have negative energy, too, because if you got focused intention and some negative energy, don't be surprised if you manifest what? Some negative experiences. But we're going to keep it positive. Those are the key words. So I wanted to focus on focused intention. Because truth be told, you know, most of us have the attention span of a goldfish. That's true. And do you know how many, how long the attention span of a goldfish is? How many of you know? 8 seconds. 8 seconds before the mind decides to move on to what? A new thought. That's just the way our minds work. If we can give it, and when I used to go to India a lot and I would study, one of our masterful teachers would say that if anybody could actually hold a thought for 30 seconds, would reach enlightenment. Because 30 seconds seems like what? Piece of cake? You try it. Within 30 seconds, your mind has had probably 5 or 10 different thoughts. Because that's just the way we've been conditioned. And so now it's like, can I hold this thought? Can I keep all of my my attention focused on my intention? The scripture, the phrase goes, attention flows, right? Energy flows where your attention goes. Can we hold something so simple as a thought for 30 seconds or even 8 seconds or maybe 9 seconds? 8 seconds is the attention span of a goldfish, and that's what they say we usually can do. So how do we get to the place where we can condition our minds, train our being to be able to have focused intention? Because most of the time, we all have good intentions, don't we? We have good intentions, we have good thoughts, we have good desires, we have good goals, but sometimes it is our lack of the ability to focus on it or to hold them long enough for them to gather spiritual energy or substance so that it can manifest. So we have a good thought, we have a good tension, and then it just slips away and whatever. We may come back to it, but it's, again, you didn't have enough energy to gather substance around that thought. Now, I'm talking to you all as conscious manifestors, as metaphysicians, okay? So, you know, the law of mind action says thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. It doesn't say thoughts that pass through your mind. Because that's what our thoughts do. They come up, they pass through, another one comes up, and this is called thinking. Oh, going over here and going over here. No. How do we hold? And what I'm talking about, not only hold the thought, but hold that intention so that when you have a desired intention and you want to do some spiritual work on it, you're going to have to do it more than just holding a thought for even 30 seconds. It's this focused intention that may take a little process, that you may have to do it every day, you know, until you bring your what? Your desire into fruition, into manifestation. And I can't tell you how long that will take. I just know that we're supposed to stay with that process. And so I wanted to look at this. How do we develop our ability to stay, to have staying power, to be able to hold something long enough so that it gathers energy and that our attentions are not just passing thoughts or desires, good as they may be? And we all have them. I know I'm working on my healing, and I have good intentions toward that, and yet I still fall prey to not doing exactly what I know I want to do, need to do, and should do to continue my healing process. So I have to keep coming back to it and keep working with it because the mind is very tricky. So this is my process. What can we do to sharpen so that we can dwell long enough in this consciousness? So again, I said, well, if that's the case, I asked ChatGPT, well, tell me some steps that we could take, that one could take, to sharpen and increase their focused intention. And these are some of the things that it came up with. First, we have to start, what it says, with having clarity of intent. Now, this is important. You've got to clearly define what you want to manifest. And the more specific you can be about what you want to manifest, the better. Because we're talking now energy. So we don't want to be vague. Because, you know, the universe doesn't really operate too well with vagueness. or mixed messages, because then we get mixed results and we thought, well, this prayer didn't work. Well, you had 100 different things in the prayer that really wasn't focused. So the universe gave you 100 different possibilities and opportunities, right? And so you don't want to be vague. You want to be as specific as possible with what it is. So instead of saying like, well, okay, I want a good paying job. And the universe is waiting and say, okay, do you want a job in the medical field? Then you got to be a doctor. This is what you got to do. No, I don't want that. Well, do you want a good paying job, you know, being a janitor? Nothing wrong with that. That's a good paying. You can have a good paying job. Is that, no, I don't want to work with that. Okay, how about a good paying job as a counselor? No, I don't want to really do that. And the universe is like, well, hey, you know, you got to give me something. What does I want a good paying job mean? So we've got to really have clarity of intent. We're conscious manifestors, which means you've got to bring conscious energy and clarity to what it is that you want to be about. Give it detail, flush it out, get clear. Sometimes, you know, when I'm counseling people, and myself included, when I ask, well, what do you want? People say, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, then how do you expect God to know? Well, God knows everything, but you know what I mean? It's too nebulous. What are your intentions? Well, I'm really not sure. Well, then don't ask. Don't pray until you're clear about what your intentions are. What do you want and what do you need? Begin to flush it out and give it detail, you know, because the more detail you can get to towards your intention. Okay, I want this kind of a job, you know, working these many days. I want to work from home. I want an environment where I have great people surrounded by me, positive souls. I want this kind of a employer who has spiritual values. I want start to flush out and get clear. The more you can get clear, the more energy you are starting to gather around that intention. Now the universe is saying, okay, we're working with something here, right? And it allows your intention to stay alive. The more you can bring it to life, it can stay alive and it's with you. So get clear, have clarity on your intent, right? Not just, what are your intentions? And then once you get clear, you want to begin to, to actually start formating maybe an affirmation or an ask of the universe. Now I know what I want to ask. Now I know what I want to pray about. The Bible says you have not because you what? Ask not. And it also says that we have not because we ask amiss. That's just that coming with that weak prayer, I want a good job. Everybody does. What's going to make your desire stand out and how will you draw it to you if you don't know what it is, right? So it says that we have to begin to ask. And now that you're clear, now you have a direction with which to start calling it in because you know what you want to call in. You know what you want to draw to you through your asking, through your prayers. And so you get clear and you begin to ask. And be bold in your asking. I'm working on asking for a certain thing, but I recognize that there's a part of me that feels, oh, maybe that's too much. I shouldn't ask for that. It's too much. And I'm watching that too muchness, you know? And so I said, no. It's nothing's impossible. Get the confidence to ask for what you want, regardless of what you've been told. Ask for what you want. And so I'm working on that. I'm not quite there, but that's a conscious manifestation that I'm working towards, right? So ask. In a new thought, we ask by, how do we ask in new thought? Let me see if I got any metaphysicians. All right, we ask by affirming that it already is. We don't ask by begging and pleading and and living in fear. We ask by claiming and stating that it is so. Because in truth, It is. It's already there. The good you're seeking is already there, already created. There's nothing that is of lack in the universe. even your needs are already fulfilled and known by the divine. But we have to what? Seek first the kingdom of God and then all the things. Ask aright, seek aright, and it'll come and it'll manifest. So we begin then to take this second step. I'm clear. Now I need to start calling it in. I want to affirm that it already is. And with this clarity of my intention, I begin to affirm that it is so, using powerful, positive, right, affirmations. And I begin to condition my mind. I begin to uplift my beliefs. I'm affirming. I don't affirm, Mr. Fillmore says, you don't affirm to make something so. You affirm because it is so. I don't have to affirm, you know, that good health is possible. Good health is available because healing and wholeness already is in the realm of God and in the realm. I need to just bring that into my understanding. So we get clear. We begin to affirm so that we can call it in. And you may need to work with your affirmations because the realm of believability creeps in. Sometimes you affirm something with your mouth, but in the back of your head is going, that ain't possible. You're not going to, that you can't have that. You can't get that. So we have to be aware of the little background noises. So when I affirm and I'm doing things, I recognize, oh, I just had a background thought that says that's too much for you to ask for. And I said, now see that? That little quiet thought in the back of my head, what is it doing? It's getting in the way of what I'm saying my intention and desire is. I'm nullifying my prayer. I'm being too double-minded. I want this, but back here saying, mm-mm. So watch those thoughts. So affirm and then go to work on being aware of all those things that you are denying about yourself or that you're saying, no, it's not possible or whatever, and get clear, clean that up. And you may have to do that a lot because we've been conditioned to have a certain thought pattern. So we have to watch it. I said, oh, that was, look at that thought. That was a fearful thought that it's not possible for you. What do you want? And I go back to what I want. No, it is possible. God is possible. I'm possible. It's possible. So I begin to affirm and then I watch. So I get clear and I'm being bold in what I'm asking for. I've got to practice more, but I'm being bold in my asking because nothing is impossible for God. So I want to ask for the impossible. I don't care. Ask for the impossible. And when you ask for the impossible, just be noted and aware of what will come up to refute the possibilities with the, no, that's not possible. So just be aware of that. So as you work with claiming, your next step, you're clear, you're affirming, you're keeping out the other noises, you begin with this third step, which is to begin to add visualization to this process. And this is an important step because you want to create a vivid mental image of your desired outcome. So we're layering, right? I'm clear. I'm speaking it. And now I'm going to start to see it. I want to add that visualization. I want to see what that feels like. And when you're doing the seeing it, imagine what it would feel like if you achieve your desired goal. What will it feel like? How will you recognize that it happened if you don't know what it looks like and also what it's going to feel like? So what would it feel like? And see this in your mind's eye. And this is what I love about it. It said, you know, we should see these things in living color. Use your imagination. Add all the detail. See what it would feel like. Because the more you do that, you're now gathering what? You're gathering energy around that desire. You're gathering the substance, right, around your intention. It's not just a fanciful thought. It's an intention. You're bringing it into being. So you've got to begin to see it and feel it and call it into being. Now that as you begin to see it and you want to start feeling it, because you got to see it and then you got to feel it. What does they say? You know, to seeing is believing, but we always say believing is seeing. But still, there should be an ability. Imagination is one of your 12 powers. Your ability to intercede, to image something. Create an image of what you want to be able to hold it in your mind's eye. Now, along with seeing this, you've got to what? You've got to feel it. So you see it and you feel it. You think about it, you get clear on it, you speak it, You claim it, you color it, now you visualize it, now you want to start putting your being, your feeling nature into it. And this next level is called emotional alignment. Because this part is very important. Well, we're building on it, but this is also a very important part. Because what you want to be able to do is this. ChatGPT said you want to cultivate emotions that align with your desire. You want to feel the joy, feel the excitement, feel the gratitude as if you've already achieved your goal or your desire. What will it feel like? So I'm imaging myself now. I'm imaging myself hiking and, you know, having so much energy, doing what I want to do. I spend time seeing myself doing those things. You know, just walking in the canyons of Sedona, just with my hiking sticks moving. I'm strong. I'm vital. I'm seeing that. I'm feeling that. Yes, right? I'm helping my cells to know we can do this. This is what it feels like when you're totally clean and healed. Your lungs are strong and expanded. What will happen if they're strong? Well, you got more energy. So start to see and feel what it feels like. Get your emotions in alignment with what would it feel like if you were to, you know, achieve your goal. Because if you don't have any emotions around it, don't do it. If it's not going to feel good that you've benefited from it or that somebody else is benefiting from whatever it is that you're doing, then don't do it. So we've got to get into this whole feeling vibration and cultivate our emotions that will be in an imperfect alignment with what we want to do. So starting with emotions like joy and gratitude and excitement, because these emotions are spiritual activators, right? The moment you tap in to a sense of joy, it activates energy. I wrote down here, emotions are energy in action. It's energy in action. And sometimes we think that emotions are simply spontaneous eruptions. They just happen. You can cultivate that vibration that you want. Cultivate gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, meaning you start to vibe with a sense of gratitude. And you can express that in many, many ways, right? Cultivate the vibration of joy. So that joy is not just something that happens because I got a new present or I got a gift or now I feel joy. Can you feel joy every day? Yes, cultivate that joy. It's a vibration that we want. And when we cultivate these emotions, then all of a sudden the Spirit says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I want strength, and let me add a little joy, too, because that's a vibration that gets activated, and it starts energy moving in my being. Gratitude moves. It moves the spiritual energy around so that I start gathering that energy toward my desire. So whatever it is, I want to start to feel it. I want that emotional, yes, thank you, feels great, feels good. I want that spirit to move, and that's what emotions do. When it's intelligent emotions, spiritual emotions, divine emotions, it is the Spirit of the living God moving in your being and moving things into your being and also maybe out of your being. But it's the Spirit that begins to move. I was thinking of, you know, my grandmother and folks who attended old-time religion churches. And, you know, when the Spirit would hit her, you know what the folks would say. She'd get what? She'd get happy. She would get happy. And people would say, well, take Mom May's pocketbook because, you know, it may go wherever. When something hit her, she would be happy. Right? Some folks might start running up and down, whatever. I don't know how the Spirit moves you, but there's a movement and an energy that Spirit has within us. And when we can start to tap into that vibration, ooh, good things happen. So we want to begin to allow ourselves to align with an energetic feeling of God's goodness, God's action, God's energy, God's in movement. And that's our emotions, and we can cultivate them. Think of things that make you happy. Think of things that you're grateful for. Let gratitude and gratefulness dwell in your heart. Let it become a vibe that you're just really excited about. Because now you're really moving towards your intention, and you're moving your intentions from just the invisible into now visibility. So we clearly state our intention, our desires, our goals. We affirm, we visualize, and now we add feeling and emotion, right? So that whatever we're thinking about, we can image, and we can now allow ourselves to dwell in this emotional vibration. And what happens is, when you allow this vibration to work in you and to come forth, you start resonating. You start resonating with the thing you desire. And resonance is powerful. Because now you're resonating on the same energetic and spiritual wavelength of that thing. We're resonating. And when you start resonating, you don't have to do as much work because now you're putting out the call, the vibration. And when you resonate, the universe says, oh, this is a vibration. I will match that vibration. And maybe next week I'll talk about this wonderful law that I came across, which I love. It's called the law of reversibility. But I'll go into that perhaps next week. But what that says is basically what you put out and resonate starts to do what? Come back. And so we want to be able to get that energy moving so that we resonate with this. Now you're cooking with gas because now you're resonating, you know. And this is good, but this next and last step that I want to talk about, and there are many more, but I want to end with this step. Now that you're resonating, you're vibrating, you're on it, you're holding the vision or whatever, this next step is really important, which means you have to take some inspired action. Intention without action is just wistful thinking, daydreaming, desiring. Oh, I wish I could do that. Well, that if you're not moving towards it, don't necessarily, you know, wait around. You're waiting around for what? For life to happen to you. Waiting around to hit that lottery, you know? So you can say, oh, if I hit the lottery, then I'll do this. And no, if that's what you want, work towards that. Move towards that. Take some inspired action. You've got to pray. You know, remember the phrase that I think it's the Quakers used to say, when you pray, do what? Move your feet. When you pray, move your feet. Don't just sit this. Now, there's very powerful energy of creating a vibratory resonance and all that, but you also must be ready to move. When the Spirit says move, you got to move. So you want to take some inspired action. While we work a lot with consciousness and our thoughts and our vision and all of this affirming and all, we eventually have to take all of that energy and move it into action, into an expressed demonstration of some movement towards your desired goal. If you want to go in a direction, you got to start moving in that direction. Now, we don't have to know all of it, how it's going to, you know, eat the, what does it say, The journey of 1,000 steps begins with what? A single step. Don't have to figure out how you're going to get to the 1,000 steps. Just take the first step. Be in motion. Be inspired to act. Begin to move. Things will come that you hadn't thought about. Once you start to commit, you all know the wonderful poem I've said from time to time about commitment by W.H. Marion. He says, once one is committed, until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. But the moment one commits oneself, not just in mind, you've taken that step, he says, then all providence begins to move. It's waiting for you to move. And then it moves to you and through you to where you need to be. So take an inspired action. And we, again, I'm not talking about just doing this as a one step. This is a practice. If you have a deep desire, a deep intention, you got to work this thing. Work it. Keep working it. I cannot tell you how long you have to do it before it comes into manifestation, because I don't know that part. I just know that if you are on that wavelength and you do this work, eventually your manifestation will show, will demonstrate. We call ourselves true students, but we have to demonstrate these principles. We have to show them out. Let them come forth and be seen in our lives and in our affairs. Because if they're not working for you, then why are you coming? We get enough of, we're hearing it, we're doing it. Now we have to what? Put it in action. If your desire is to write a book, people say, oh, why don't you write a book? I say, oh, it's not really my intention. But if it were, what do you think I'd have to do? Start writing. I always say, I'm waiting for the book to write me. That's a lame excuse, but I'll admit it. I'm waiting for the book to write me. But I guarantee if I actually sat down at a computer and say, I'm going to write a book, something would come. It might not be completed in the first draft, but there's a process. But that's not my intention, so I haven't put any inspired action toward it. But if it were, that would be the thing for me to do. Start the process. Do all these other things. Get clear. Have vision. Have energy. Have excitement. Begin to resonate with the intention. Give it your intention for however long you need to do so that it comes about. And then this last step is when you do all of that, the last step is very interesting. It's just simply trust the process. You do your work. Jesus said, I work and my Father works. Or my Father works and I work. You do your work. God will do God's work in your life and affairs. God will continue to lead you, guide you, direct you. But you have to be willing to be a willing participant. Right? And as you do that, you get on a roll. You and God are on a path to create something beautiful that your intentions can manifest. And what we want to do is we want to learn how to be conscious manifestors. I don't want to be at the whim of life only happening to me. I really want to be engaged in what am I doing to affect my own life. I can do some of those things as well. I can work out my highest good. I can allow myself to be a clear vessel, an instrument of the divine. But that instrument, when I'm asking for that energy to flow to me, it must flow to me, but it also flows then through me to move me. If we're going to be lights of the world, then we have to begin to act upon this light that we're given. We have to understand how to work it, how to work the system, the spiritual system of creativity, of manifestation, of goodness, of blessings. Got to put ourselves out there. And so these are the things that are ours to do. We've got to be intentional, be focused every day. Follow your principles and the process every day and be clear on what you want, what you need, where you're going, and what you want to do. And the rest is spirit taking you to places you have never thought you'd be. The end of Mary's quote says, boldness has genius in it. We don't know what we can become yet. But I know it's all within us to be great. So let's step out. Let's do what is ours to do. And let's be intentionally focused because we are conscious what? Manifestors. Blessings. Blessings. The blessings. Thank you.